Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and the lessons are from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, and the Gospel of John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, and today's message is titled, 153 Large Fish. Hear the word of Scripture from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They had heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Here ends our first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard this, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord Jesus. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray again the St. Jerome prayer from the 4th century. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 153 large fish. Not simply 153 fish, or not simply a bunch of fish. No, very specific. 153 large fish. This is the English words from the Greek word order. Full of fish, large, 153. Although so many there are, not was torn the net. So it sounds like Yoda, doesn't it? I mean, not was torn the net. But I mean, the exactness of the number of large fish. So many and so large, John also drew attention to the net. The net not being torn. So many large fish, the Greek word megalon, from magus, meaning exceedingly great. These 153 fish were an extraordinary catch, such that John just had to mention the net should have been torn under such a catch, but it didn't. It was a really memorable moment. Through the years, many have sought to attach some spiritual meaning from the number and the size of the catch here. For me, the exactness of the description is simply the marvel of a seasoned fisherman experiencing a wondrous, miraculous catch of fish that would most definitely be memorable. John, who grew up with a fisherman's heart, was just relating the facts of this fabulous catch of fish. This number, 153 exceedingly great fish, is a fact. A fact that points to the faith of the church. Points to the faith of the church is rooted in historical fact. Faith is not, as the public square likes to characterize it, for the purveyors of the public square, faith is a whimsical grabbing of esoteric mist that has no basis in reality, no basis in facts. Facts are facts, while faith is not facts, such as being empirically measurable as facts. Yet, this size of the catch with the weight of the 153 exceedingly large fish not break the net rings of an actual account of a fishing trip by the sea, along with the manner of the catch. Fishing all night, comes a call from the waterside. Did you catch anything? No, no fish at all. With the man on the shore shouting back, put your net down on the right side and you will find some. Full of fact of an amazing moment of fishing and an even more profound encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, the Lord. Years earlier, after a night of not catching anything, at the word of Jesus, they put out to deep water and let down the nets. The fishermen then caught so many fish that the nets began to break. Luke chapter 5 narrates the moment. What took place was so extraordinary that Simon Peter fell down before Jesus and said to Jesus, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." It's written in Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Yes, they pulled up their boats on the shore and walked away from them, left everything and followed him, left everything to follow Jesus. And now, 3.5 years later, after seeing the wonders, experiencing amazing moments, and witnessing Jesus crucified and risen, all rooted in fact. The faith of the church is fact of history, not some silly fishing story of a fable, big one that got away. No, these things did happen. And just as assuredly, Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen Son of God, the Savior and Lord. Saul, zealous Saul, with all his fury and zeal, was setting after all those who belonged to the way. Heresy and falsehood must be stamped out, like a ministry of truth of that time, to get rid of disinformation by all means necessary. Instead of deplatformed, blocked, shadow banned, and censored, they were arrested and oftentimes stoned to death. As purveyors of disinformation, Saul set out on the Damascus Road with a mission to destroy the followers of the falsehoods of the way of Jesus Christ. Like all ministries of truth, they try to stomp out disinformation. It is the ministries of truth that are in error, and dangerously so in error. Acts chapter 9, beginning of verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Blinded by the encounter on the road with the truth of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one, Saul sent out to get the purveyors of disinformation. Saul ran into the truth. And as then, today, those who say they are stopping the spread of disinformation, in reality are blocking the facts of truth from being spoken and shared. Like then, it is true now. Orwellian ministries of truth have no place in life. The Lord wills and sends Ananias to Saul. Ananias doesn't want to go for all the destruction Saul has wrought on the followers of the way, the disciples of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord says, go to Ananias. It's written in Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. The facts of the truth of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, grabbed hold of Saul, and he began to preach right away. Saul's knowledge of the scripture as a Pharisee are now being put into the service of the Lord, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Saul's now putting those scriptures he knew so well now to the work of baffling those he enters into debate with him. And he proves Jesus is the Christ. This change in Saul becoming Paul is another fact of the faith of the church. Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen one, the Son of the living God. Saul, now Paul, would be taking places and experience much suffering for the Lord. Just as Peter and the other apostles would be taking places and suffered for the Lord. All sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to proclaim repentance and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. All the apostles would end up being killed for the facts of the faith, except John. John, who had lived to an old age in exile on Patmos. To stop John in his old age from sharing Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen Lord, to stop the facts, to stop the truth, John was banished to Patmos. Banished, sort of an early method of deplatform, delist, and censor of those days. Banished for the facts of the faith of the church. The truth. John chapter 21, beginning of verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Testimony is true. That word true in the Greek means will be shown to be fact. Will be shown to be fact. That is the meaning of the Greek word translated as true. Fact, such as an undeniable reality. John's testimony is true. It's a fact. It's undeniable reality. Jesus the Christ is the crucified and risen Lord. That's a fact. Undeniable reality. Caught any fish? No, none at all. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some. Unable to haul in, so full was the net because of the large number of fish. John turns to Peter. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. The reality, the facts of the faith of the church. Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen Savior. The Lord, the Son of the living God. Believe these facts of the faith of the church, and you will have life in His name. It is written in John chapter 20, beginning of verse 30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. 153 exceedingly large fish. A fishing trip. A fact showing us all that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believe and have life in His name. Amen and amen.